Conquer Fear. 2 years ago this month, I believe, we took her book, put it on in an e-book format, put it on As a Man Thinketh, and from day one, it has been our most popular e-book ever. It is an incredible book. We get a lot of testimonials. If you haven't read Conquer Fear, I encourage you to do that. It is a highly relatable book, as she is a highly relatable teacher. You're going to find that out as you go through these 4 weeks. Then we came back a year later, last year, the very first teleseminar we ever offered. Who'd we go to? We went back to the winner. We went to Lisa and said, would you do a teleseminar based on Conquer Fear? She did a phenomenal teleseminar. It still sells every day now. We get a lot of people that have had a lot of breakthroughs with that teleseminar. You're going to have a breakthrough on this teleseminar. You may have one every week, but you will have one. And it may come in lesson one or two or three or four and all or whatever, but you'll have one because she's that kind of teacher. If you'll participate, if you'll do your part, do the work she assigns you, participate in these teleseminars, I promise you, you'll have a breakthrough. So without any further ado, from down in South Florida, please welcome to the call, Ms. Lisa Jimenez.
Great. Thank you, Vic. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you're with us tonight. You know, with all the personal coaching that I do, I really do get a front row seat into how people really think and believe. And the funny thing is, I have a doctorate degree in behavioral psychology, and that doesn't even come close to what I've learned from doing personal coaching with high achievers. Because we think we have these high achievers figured out, and probably everyone on this call is a high achiever, as I am myself, and yet there's still things that block us. There's still things that are keeping us from our rich, abundant life. That's what this teleseminar is all about. I'm going to walk you through a journey. First, we're going to talk about clarity, how to get clear about what you really want so that you can make sure and you can stand in confidence that you are working on the goals that you want, not the ones set for you by society, your spouse, family, whatever, you know, your own conception of what a woman or man should be doing and how much money you should be making. We're going to make sure that you have 100% authenticity for who you are. Then the second part, what we're going to do is we're going to really look at what are the boundaries, what still holds the high achiever back. And there are three specific things. We're going to be talking about breaking through those boundaries. Then, and throughout that whole system, we're going to, throughout that whole portion of the seminar, we're going to actually come up with a system, an action plan of things that you can do to help you break through those boundaries, get clear about what you really want, and set up a system, an action plan to make your dreams come true. So let's get started with week one, and we're going to talk about clarity. And when I say clarity, I mean clarity, getting crystal clear in 100% authenticity that you know who you are, what you're called to do on this planet Earth, what you need to do to get that done. So see, do you hear the balance in both the head and the heart issue, the whole gamut of figuring out the spirit and the mind? See, I'm big on that. If we can connect both the heart and the head, the spirit and the mind, wow, we got just laser focus on what it really takes to create a rich life. So let's talk about clarity tonight. Let's get clear about what the rich life is. When I say rich life, what do you think about? Think about that. What comes to your mind when I say, ooh, he's living the rich life, or she's really living the rich life? What connotations do you have to that statement? Think about that. What are the characteristics of rich people? You know, my definition of the rich life could be vastly different to your definition of the rich life. Because when I say rich life, most people think monetary, that they have a lot of stuff, or they're financially free, or they drive a Lamborghini or five Vipers or something. And you know, that's not the only part. That is a very big part, the materialism, but that is not the only part. And you know what? In fact, if we're not careful, that material part can actually cause us to repel the rich life, the true rich life. Because, my friend, when I'm talking about living a rich life, I'm talking about living a life that you do things that light you up inside. Your career lights you up inside. The people you hang out with light you up inside. The things you think about bring you great joy. I'm talking about being lit up. I mean, what would it look like if everybody on this call figures out and attains clarity, figures out what's causing them to hold them back, and really truly lives a rich life? They're a walking, talking example of being lit up inside. What would happen to our society? And here we're all calling in from Hawaii and Texas and Denmark and New York and Virginia and you know, and Florida and all over the world. And that one light, oh, the power of that one light, what would that do to your community? What would that do to your state, your country? I mean, just think about the power that we have, people. I mean, the power we have is just incredible. I want you to grasp that. And I want every one of you on this call to have a goal. And that goal is to change the world. Because if you are world changers, that's the power you have. If you take hold of that power, we're going to make a huge difference. But see, many times we think, oh gosh, you know, change the world, that just sounds so trite and, you know, that just sounds so ostentatious. And no, people, it's not ostentatious. It is absolutely our purpose. So let's get clear and have real solid clarity with, yes, we are called to change the world. We are called to light it up. Are you ready to light it up? Because how you light up the world is you light up yourself. So let's talk about how do we light up ourselves. And I'm talking about being spiritually rich, physically rich, socially rich, experientially rich, just rich. That's how you just light up the world. So how do we do that? I think the first step of that is getting very clear of, do we have any negative connotations to rich people? When we even hear the word rich, do we repel that statement? Do we even see ourselves as rich? One of the things I even talk about in Conquer Fear, if you have not read that yet, the story is about me and my breakthrough in Bermuda on how I had to face the truth that I had this negative connotation, this negative belief to wealth, to money, to Lisa Jimenez, the millionaire. And I did a very simple exercise where I wrote down all my connotations to that word, millionaire. And man, people, I'm telling you, some of the things I wrote down shocked me. I was just shocked that was in my belief system. And whatever's in your belief system is your reality. So we need to do the same exercise to the word rich. So when I even say the word rich, or if I said your name, you, the rich person, what feelings come up? What thoughts come out? So if you even look on your workbook on page 5, I want you to go through this on your own. Time doesn't permit us to go through each one, but we're going to talk about it and skim over it. But I'm asking you to spend some time on this. You need to do that. And so as your coach, that's part of your homework. You need to go back over this workbook later on tonight. If you got some energy, you Denmark person at 3 a.m. or sometime tomorrow, but really take some time, some introspective time, to go deep inside and talk to yourself. Have a good conversation with you. You and you. So let's talk about rich people. What connotations come up in your mind and your heart when you even hear rich people? I gave you even 7 slots, 7 areas to write down. What words come up? What characteristics do you have to the word rich or rich people? You can start filling that out now and just be thinking about it. But again, and later on tonight or tomorrow, spend some time on this. The next one, rich people look like. Ah, what do rich people look like? Isn't that funny? I had a seminar not too long ago with, a couple thousand people in direct sales. And I brought one lady up to the stage and I asked her, what do rich people look like? And she said, oh, rich people are gorgeous. Okay, so you have to be gorgeous to be rich. Well, that negates a lot of people. And she said, rich people are healthy and they're very fit. Oh, okay, so that negates a lot of people. You know, do you get the point? I mean, and she was not these things. So so interesting. Oh, and this is another amazing thing. She was African American, beautiful, gorgeous woman. And she said, rich people are white. Wow. Isn't that intriguing? Rich people are white. She had a huge breakthrough that day, people. I mean, huge, because these beliefs were not serving her. These beliefs were actually causing her to repel success. So what about you? What beliefs do you have about rich people, what rich people look like, what living a rich life means? What connotations do you have to that? And are there any connotations that are holding you back, that are actually causing you to repel success? For two reasons. One, you don't see yourself as that. Or two, they're negative beliefs. And who would want that? Who would want to be like that, whatever you think rich people are? You know, it's funny, too, because I just got back from Portland, had a speech out there, and I was flying next to this gentleman, and I always fly first class. And by the way, if you're not flying first class and you want to be a mega successful entrepreneur, you can't afford. You cannot afford to fly coach. Do you hear me? You can't afford to fly coach because you are leaving so much money on the table. The people you meet in first class are the people that will help you get to the rich life. They are the people who think like the rich. And you want to hang out with people like who think like the rich. They are the people who are, the gentleman I was sitting next to, his name was Greg. He has 12 companies. He's 29 years old. 29 years old, and he has 12 companies. And it's so funny because he comes walking in on the plane, and he looked half asleep, to tell you the truth. I wonder if he's on this call. Greg, I think you're adorable, but I'm going to tell the truth. He comes walking on the plane, and I mean, he looks half asleep. He's wearing blue jeans and tennis shoes. His shirt's all, you know, kind of wrinkled, and and it's untucked, you know. Okay. So that lady in that convention that said rich people are good looking, rich people are fit, rich people dress really nice, would Greg fit that? Greg, my friend, is a multi-millionaire. 12 businesses, just over the top financially successful, over the top spiritually successful, over the top relational successful. He just got married 2 years ago, just had his first baby. You know, so we've got to dispel these beliefs of what we think rich people look like, rich people act like, rich people are. Okay, hear my heart there? Do you see where I'm going with that? My friend, take that introspective look. You got to do that. Take some time to really look at your beliefs. What's holding you back from the rich life is probably the beliefs you have about being rich. And then on the bottom of page 5, I want you to answer that question. What belief do you choose to change about living rich? And that's what I asked that lady that came up, that African-American lady that she was giving me all these, who, you know, what rich people look like, who they are. And, hey, no wonder she was repelling success. No wonder she was sabotaging her efforts. She, in her belief system, does not fit the bill. Again, what about you? So you got to see yourself as a rich person. That's the very first step. Get very clear with what rich people look like, act like, are, and see yourself as a rich person before you're even rich. Even if you're not rich relationally, see yourself with rich friends. Picture yourself sitting around eating a delicious dinner, talking about, you know, what you love to talk about, whatever it is. Politics, sports, religion, visualize yourself in rich conversation. That's where it starts, people, in the mind, what we think about. So the first exercise on page 5, go through that introspective study of what really do I believe about rich? And then, secondly, do I see myself as a rich person? And if it's not yes, do some introspective work to say, okay, I'm going to work on this. Here's my vision. I picture myself, whatever it is. I used to picture myself going, I have season tickets to the theater and to the opera because I love the arts. But I always thought I couldn't afford it. Isn't that funny? I always thought I just couldn't afford it. And about 5 years ago, I said, why am I believing that? This is who I am. This is what I love to do. Let's manifest the money. And the first thing is a friend of mine got season tickets to the opera. So I didn't manifest the money the first year, but I manifested the opportunity. I went to every single opera that year as his friend. So you start thinking these things, and, you know, it may not work out the way you thought, but at least your goal is met. And now I have season tickets to both. So it's interesting how when you just throw it out there in the universe, you just throw out this belief that, yeah, I want season tickets to every theater play or every opera. And it's amazing how the world will respond. Page 6, let's talk about the clarity in mind, body, and spirit. First of all, we have to talk about the reasons people don't achieve their goals. In my research, in both my psychology degree and most especially working so closely as a personal coach, a business building coach, I believe there's three reasons. There's three main reasons why people don't achieve their goals. The first one is their goal isn't what they really want. It's just not what they really want. They say it is because their sponsor said they're supposed to do that. They say it is because that's what their family did, so that's what they're doing. They say it's their goal because that's what their spouse is comfortable with. They say it's their goal because that's what they believe they can achieve. They say it's their goal because that's what their parents thought that they should do. And, you know, it's funny because even the people on the call today, even if you're high achievers and you've tasted success and you're on your journey to the rich life, even you can have this, it's a subconscious thing, this reality that you're working for something that you don't really want. So if you're getting into a stage where you're kind of frustrated that it's just not working and you're trying different things and it's just not working, you have to really look inside and say, do I really want this? Is this in my best interest? And then, now don't be too shocked, but then you have to have the courage to maybe change the goal. Maybe the goal is too small. Maybe the dream is boring you. And you got to blow the top off it and do something outrageous. That's what the rich life is, dreaming outrageous dreams, things you're afraid to tell people because they're just so outrageous. Let me tell you something. If you start sharing these outrageous dreams, what effect would you have on your colleagues and your friends and your sphere of influence? Because you can bet right now in your sphere of influence, there are people who have outrageous dreams that are not willing to share. They're afraid. But if you're willing to share, what could you start, even with your own downline or your own community, your own family? So let's talk about what you really want. One of my coaching clients has a travel business, and she loves to travel. She wants to travel. She's been traveling. She's been building this huge business, and she's been doing it for 18 years. And now she sees in her life her goals have changed. She has changed. She's newer, she's different, she's more mature, and her needs, her desires have changed, but she still has the same goal. So I have to ask you, have you outgrown your goal? So now what my coaching client is doing is she still wants to be in the travel business, but she doesn't want to do all the detail work. She just wants to do the creative planning. So now she's starting a brand new business at age, I think she's like 48, 49 years old, starting a brand new business, still in the industry of travel, but she wants to design custom, high-end, very exclusive trips for a small amount of people. And then she'd get companies and outsource all the detail work. I mean, she's on fire. She's like a little kid again. She's like a 16-year-old little girl dreaming about her future. It's adorable to work with her. And yet, just 1 year ago when we started working, she was burnt out, always sick, because she's working for a goal that she outgrew. So you got to ask yourself, tell the truth. Are you working toward a goal that you've outgrown? Maybe you need to blow the top off it and do it something different, doing something bigger, do it completely in a different industry. I don't know. You tell me. Then there's the person. Like when I was a director with Mary Kay Cosmetics, it was the first meeting in January, back in like 1989. and I asked my unit to write down their goal. What's your goal for 1989? Doesn't that sound funny? And everybody was writing, and they were into it, and everybody was intense, and then we were all going to share our goals. Well, this one lady in the front of the room was very quiet. She starts crying. And I didn't want to embarrass her, so I didn't call on her, but after everybody had dismissed, the meeting was over, I came over to her, and I said, hey, we need to talk. What are you feeling? And she just started bawling. And she's like, Lisa, I don't have a goal. I don't have a dream. I don't know what I want. So then there's that person that they don't know what they want. And what I would tell you, if you really just don't know, maybe you have outgrown your dream and now you're like, gosh, I'm starting over. I mean, what do I want? One thing you can do is go to your past and ask yourself, what childhood games did I play when I had free time? Remember those days when you would just be playing and playing and playing and your mom would say, come on, honey, come on in to eat. And you're like, no, not eat, no, you know, 5 more minutes. I mean, you didn't even want to eat for this goal. You love doing this so much. What was that? What was that? Fill that in on page 6. What childhood game did you play when you were a kid? What just consumed you? You just loved it. One time I was working with an audience, and this was in the government. I don't take government jobs anymore, but I was motivating the government staff, and you know they were kind of burnt out people. But there's one lady was still on fire about her job, and so I had to call her to the front. I had to find out what is going on with this woman. She just loves her job so much, and this is her job. She was actually a fraud agent. Her job was to go in and find out people who were cheating on their taxes. That was her job. And then she had to call them on it. She had to get lawyers, call the people, and get the money back. Can you imagine? I mean, the pressure, the stress. She's the happiest woman I've met in a long time. She loved her job. So I asked her this exercise. What did you do when you were a kid? And she said, when I was a kid, I loved to play Charlie's Angels. And here she was, you know, a detective figuring out the bad guy. Well, you can see the correlation. Here she was, a grown woman playing at her job. Wow. How many of us play at our job? You see, her job in the government, in the fraud department, that wasn't a job to her. That was her childhood play. She was doing what she loves. Are you doing what you love? I mean, what really lights you up? See, on page 6, I wrote, okay, Lisa, I'll tell you the truth. What I really, really want is what? What do you really, really want? What lights you up inside? That if you could just do this, oh, my gosh, life would just be incredible and get paid for it. If you could do this and get paid for it, a lot of money, what would that be? And then ask yourself, what's the one thing keeping you from achieving it? What is it? What's the one thing keeping you from achieving that goal, that dream that you really want? In all my research, in all my time with my coaching clients, there's only one answer to that question. What's the one thing keeping you from achieving your dream? There's only one thing, my friend. The one thing keeping you from achieving your dream is you. It's your desire. You're not telling the truth. Do you have the guts to tell the truth about what you really, really want? The only person, the only thing keeping you from your dreams is you. So when we can come to that realization and stand in that state of confidence and tell the truth in all authenticity that, okay, I've been holding my own self back, and we can take that responsibility. Oh, if you could do that tonight, that is a breakthrough. That is huge. Because anything based on truth is power. And that's based on truth. So if you have the courage to say that tonight, that's worth the whole seminar. Because then we can really work with your desire. So the only thing holding you back is you and your desire. So let's talk about desire. first of all, right when I say desire, what are you thinking about? Do you think you deserve to get what you desire? Not what you want, not what other people want, not what the right thing is. Desire. See, we have, some people have negative connotations even to that word desire. Like we're not supposed to get what we desire. Well, let me tell you, my friend, it's biblical to get what you desire. It's biblical. God said, search after me and I will give you the desire of your heart. So if your heart is right with God, he will give you the desires of your heart. His full intention after he has you as his own is to make you fulfilled, to make you do what you were put on this planet to do. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're supposed to have your desires? You are. You're supposed to have the desire of your heart. So, what is the desire of your heart? If you look on page 7, I want you to fill this out and really do some extensive work on this, but let's just skim over it tonight. Let's design your dream life. If I were to ask you, okay, so we're going to design your dream life. Look at your poster board of your goal poster, if you have a goal book right now, and put it aside for a minute. Let's see if some of those, if we've outgrown some of those dreams. So let's just go with a clean slate. Now, is that fair, everybody? Just look up at your wall right there, and it's clean. It's a clean slate. We're going to create this dream life. Here we go. Let's talk about personal spiritual. So what's your dream life for personal time? How much time would you like to have for yourself? For meditation, for study, for reading, for dreaming, for sitting idle and thinking, thinking time. Isn't it amazing that our most brilliant-minded people gave themselves the gift of thinking time? It has been said about Henry Ford that in his home here in South Florida, he used to go out there and fish. You know, he had this long... what's that called when you walk out on the lake? You know, he had this long, like, boat dock and used to sit out there and fish. But there was no fishing line. There was no fish. There was no bait or hook on his fishing line. But in those days, as in these days, if you saw a man fishing, you never interrupted him. So isn't it amazing that Henry Ford would actually take time to go out there and so everybody could see that he's fishing, so they left him alone. He wasn't fishing. That was his time for himself to think. Do you give yourself the gift of personal time, spiritual time, thinking, meditating, praying? How much time do you need in a day? I almost said an hour because that's my answer. I mean, really, I would love 2 hours a day. So in my dream life, I would say 2 hours a day. Whatever it is, write it down for you. Hobbies. What hobbies would you love to have the time to do? What is it? Is it snow skiing? You haven't done it in a long time. You just love to snow ski. Well, I don't know. What is it? Reading? I don't know. Crocheting? Anything. Just what is it? What are the hobbies that if you had the time, gosh, if someone could just wave a magic wand over your life and say, okay, you get to do this an hour every day, or you get to do this every weekend, or you get to do this once a month, what would it be? Write it down. What about experiences? What experiences, if this was your dream life, what experiences would you love to have? You know what mine are? Mine are things like exotic stuff. I mean, exotic. I don't want to just go to the Paris Opera House. I want to see an opera at the Paris Opera House, and then I want to go underneath. Did you know they have an underworld at the Paris Opera House? It's so cool. You could go underneath at the Paris Opera House and have dinner with the opera stars after the show. Okay, that's my thing. So what's your thing? You know, what lights you up inside? What experiences just light you up? Write it down. Habitat. By that I mean your surroundings. What lights you up? What gives you energy? Is it the city and you love to live in the city? Is it the country and you love the vastness of forests in the country? Is it a little bit of both? I know my friend Vic Johnson has that kind of life, a little bit of both. You have a retreat in the mountain and yet you have a home in the city. What do you love? What lights you up? And then relationships. What do you like in relationships? Are you the type that you like to be with one person all the time? Write it down. are you the type that you like to have kind of several good friends and only, you know, and one lover? I don't know. Write it down. Or are you the type that you like to have a commitment, but you like your own time and you're pretty independent? I don't know. Tell yourself, what do you like relationship-wise, relationally? What's your dream life? Now let's move into dream job. Dream job. What's the atmosphere that you best work in? Indoors, outdoors, behind a desk, at a computer, around a pool? I don't know. Around a lake? What is it for you? What's your dream job, the atmosphere of your dream job? And here, a community, I wrote this. Community means, do you like to work with a lot of people? You like that energy of a big office? Or do you like to work with only maybe just one partner? Maybe you like to work alone. I'm very social, but it's so funny. I like to work alone. And you know, I never knew that about myself because I'm just so social. I always thought, okay, I just like to work with a lot of people. But when I finally start telling the truth and looking introspectively, I realize, you know what? At least Jimenez likes to work alone. I'm okay with that. So what about you? If you could create your dream job, what would the community look like? What about your attire? For your dream job, do you like to wear jeans and a polo shirt? Do you like business casual? Do you like to wear suits? Maybe a uniform. You know, my husband and his dream job, he has his own business, and he loves to wear suits. But he was getting burnt out on having to get a suit ready every morning. So what he did is he went out and he had custom shirts made for his company. So Monday through Thursday, he wears this custom suit because it's easy. He just, you know, you order 24 of them, two dozen. You have them in your closet. They're nice, and they have Digital Habitats, his company name on it. And then on Fridays, he'll wear a suit, or at least one day he'll wear a suit. So, you know, this is the thing, people. You can design this. You can. So it's up to you to tell the truth, at least to yourself. What do you like? What lights you up? And then lastly, on the dream job, what hours are your dream hours to work? Maybe you like to get up in the morning early, like I do, and go run and hang out by yourself for a while and have your quiet time. And then you like to go around people. So you go to the coffee shop. I'm describing my life right now. And then so you're around people. And I haven't even started working yet. It's 9 o'clock, and I've been up since 5 a.m., but I haven't worked because I like 3 to 4 hours by myself and with other people. It just gives me energy, solitude, and then a balance of other people. So after my solitude, I go to Starbucks, get a cup of coffee, hang out with really the same people. It's so fun. I mean, at Starbucks, you see the same people, and they become good friends. And then by 9 o'clock, I'm ready to sit down at my office and start writing books and creating resources and speeches. And I'm energized, you know. It just gives me energy to have that balance of solitude and people. What about you? Or do you like to wake up when you wake up, not have an alarm, and just start working at 10? What's your dream job? Now let's move into the financial goal. Now, isn't that interesting? Did you notice I did not start with the financial goal first? No. Whoever told you to do that, I do not agree with that system. The financial goal comes after you design the dream life and the dream job because you got to know how much money you need. Listen, some people's dream life is living in a 1,400-square-foot condo. And it only costs like, you know, $2,000 a month or $1,000 a month. That's their dream life. So do you see what I mean? You've got to do the dream life first before you set the financial goal. Because another person will want a 13,000-square-foot home. Okay, well, then his financial goal's got to be a little higher, doesn't it? So design the dream life first, the dream job second, and then we'll talk about, all right, here's some financial goals. This comes next, the investments, the savings, the tithe and offering. Living expenses, how much do you want to spend? And, you know, I don't agree with budgets. I really don't. I don't like budgets, but I do believe in parameters. So one thing I do, I mean, I love to clothes shop. So I have one credit card that I allow myself to max out every single month. the max balance is $1,000. I called the bank and told them I want a credit card and I only want $1,000. And they said, oh, no, Mrs. Jimenez, we can get you, you know, 20 grand on this thing. Oh, no, thank you, but I want 1,000 because that's how I do a budget. So I can max this thing out until it gets declined. and sometimes it does get declined, but then I know, okay, Lisa, you spent your $1,000. Now that's it. And then I pay it off every single month. So, you know, that may not work for you, but for me, that works. I give myself that parameter. Okay, my clothing budget is $1,000 a month, and that works for me. Maybe you need more than that. Maybe you need less. But see, this whole thing is about designing what you want, the desire of your heart. So let's move into, oh, gosh, I need about like another 3 hours. Let's move into reasons people don't achieve their goal. Number two, they don't believe they're worthy of it. Oh, this is a big one. This is a big one, my friend. They don't believe they're worthy of it. And, you know, it's so funny. It's so strange that the powerful, high-powered clients I work with, you'd be amazed at some of my clients. You would know them by name. They're running million-dollar companies. They've got worthiness issues. Every successful person does. The only difference is the person that breaks through it goes to the next level. But everyone has it. I don't know if we were born with it. I don't know. I really haven't figured it out, but I'm telling you the truth. Every person has worthiness issues. We got to work on this. We got to break through this. But it can be broken through. So let's talk about that. We have to understand and have the belief that we were born to be blessed. That's God's intention with his people. To bless us. It's his greatest joy. Do you let him bless you? Do you believe that's your birthright to be blessed? Then let me ask you this. If you didn't say with complete confidence, yes, I believe I'm to be blessed. Every day I believe God has a rich blessing for me. If you can't say that with all sincerity, then let me tell you this story. The reason why I know that to be true is because God in his infinite wisdom needs people. He needs people, rich people, to get his jobs done. Look at the richness, look at the exceptional events in Scripture. The exceptional events in Scripture done for God were people with wealth. We're talking about mega wealth. King Solomon, the wisest and richest man. King David, Moses had all wealth in his Egyptian home. The people who made the biggest difference for God were the people with resources, okay? So we need money to work and do our will, God's will, the universe's will. Here's the point about that, though. When money becomes your master, we've got a problem. So each one of you have to look in your heart right now and say, is money my master or is money my servant? Oh, do you hear the difference? When money is your servant and you attract billions of dollars, think of what you can do for the world, for yourself, for your community. Do you hear the difference? Money makes a wonderful servant. But money makes a terrible master. I hope you hear the difference in that. Money makes a terrible master, but a wonderful servant. The good we can do with money in the right hands of people. And my spirit tells me that the people on this call are the people who we need to have you attract a lot of money. We need to have you manifest great wealth. Because it's people like you that will cause great change for good in our world. Another thing is, people who don't think they're worthy of great wealth don't know the difference between self-confidence and self-esteem. So let's talk about that. What's the difference between confidence, self-confidence, and self-esteem? When you have self-confidence and you are a walking, talking vessel of faith, you believe that you were born to receive blessings. Every day there's a blessing waiting for you. Every single day there's a rich blessing for you. Because in order for other people to be blessed, you have to be blessed. See, that's the conduit. See, we don't hoard our money. We don't hoard our wisdom. We cannot hoard our wealth. We're a vessel of wealth. Wealth flows through us. So we get, you know, $10,000 today, and it flows through us. We buy things to help the economy. We tithe. We invest. We give our money away. We save. Okay, see how it's do you see how we can be a vessel, a conduit of information, wealth, wisdom? Because what happens if you attain all this wisdom? Here you are, you're a seminar junkie. You go to all these seminars and you have all this wisdom and you know so much and you just, you read and you know all these facts and, but you're not a conduit. See, it's not flowing through you. What happens? What happens when you eat and you don't ever eliminate? You die, right? You get fat. The same thing with wealth. So if you can see yourself as a conduit, you know what a conduit is? You know, energy can flow through you. Wealth can flow through you. Oh, my friend, you will be so physically rich. You will be so healthy because you will attract so much money to you. And then the money will be a conduit through you. You will attract so many blessings. And then you will be a blessing to others. Another thing we need to do is know self-confidence is about valuing yourself. It's a core belief that you were born to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. Now, self-confidence never changes. It's always truth. It's just based on truth. It doesn't fluctuate. You always have your self-confidence. You could lose everything. You could declare bankruptcy and you still have self-confidence. Because, my friend, self-confidence is a gift from God. God created confidence, not you. It doesn't change. Now, self-esteem is something totally different. Self-esteem does change. It does fluctuate. Because the definition of self-esteem is to esteem one's behaviors, one's self. So while self-confidence doesn't change, because it's the belief that you were born in the image of God, that doesn't change. That came from God himself. Self-esteem comes from you. It depends on what you're doing. So ask yourself, am I doing things that would cause me to have esteem for myself? Okay? It's about your behaviors. Are you proud of yourself? Do you do things that make you proud? That's how you build self-esteem. You look at yourself and you look at your behaviors. It's what you do with your gifts. It's what you do with your self-confidence. So, yeah, that's about doing. Self-esteem can fluctuate. Are you doing things that bring esteem to yourself? Are you proud that you're not proud of? Well, then your self-esteem will be lower. So you have control over self-esteem. It does fluctuate. Some days you'll have great self-esteem. Other days you won't. One way we can really build our self-esteem is to focus on what we do right. And look at in the middle of page 8, it says list 7 one-word positives that best describe you. One-word positives. You know, I do this in my seminars and breakout sessions. I have people, I give them a certain amount of time. I don't tell them how much. I said that I just want you to write 7 one-word positives. Ready? Go. And then after 30 seconds, I stop them. Stop. I said, how many people got all 7? I can tell you right now, rarely does a room of even 10,000 people have all 7 in 30 seconds. And when I ask them to write 7 negatives about themselves, you know, 7 things you know you got to work on, 7 things you know your boss tells you got to work on, your spouse reminds you that you're not so good at, you remind yourself, how many do you think they could come up with in 30 seconds? You see the point? Isn't it interesting that we can come up with 7 negatives about ourselves like that? We can just say, oh, I do this, I do that, I do this. But then when we're talking about what's 7 one-word positives, we can't even come up with 7 in 30 seconds? What is the example we're teaching our kids? See, kids have so much self-esteem and so much self-confidence, they just think they're winners. And then they look at the adults and they say, oh, they hear, oh, I'm fat, oh, I'm late again, oh, I lost my keys, oh, my checkbook's overdrawn, you know. Oh, I got a headache. no wonder kids don't want to grow up. Who wants to grow up and be that? Oh, so I'm asking you to be different. Be different. Focus on what you do right. Boast about what you do right. Be proud of yourself. You have God-given talent. Are you proud of that? Do you share that? Then I want you to list the beliefs that you would like to replace about living rich. Just from this time that we've been together, what do you even hear from your heart? What's your head telling you? What's your heart telling you that, man, I don't like that belief that I have about rich? What would you like to change? Write that on page 8. List the beliefs you would like to replace about living rich. Because what I found in my own personal life and even the people I work with, when you begin acting like a rich person, the world responds and you begin attracting opportunity to you. It's true, my friend. You start tomorrow morning when you get up like a rich person. You go get coffee like a rich person. You get into your car like a rich person. You greet the person behind the counter like a rich person. You treat your spouse like a rich person. You love on your kids like a rich person. And just see how your day goes tomorrow. When you begin acting like a rich person, people respond to you. The world responds to you, and you begin attracting rich opportunities. And finally, we need to talk about the third reason people don't achieve their goals. The first one is it's not what they really want. Second one, they don't believe they're worthy of it. And the third one is their fear is bigger than their dream. Now listen to that. Their fear is bigger than their dream. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying that every person has fear. It's true. Even this 29-year-old with the 18 companies, multimillionaire, completely set for life, he was talking to me about his fears. Every successful person has fear. It's normal to have fear. I think God in his infinite wisdom gave us fear so that we'd always depend on him. I just do. And fear is not something to be afraid of. Fear can actually be a green light to go. You know, when you get that feeling in your gut, that could be excitement. That could be, hey, this is what you really want. You're on to something big. So let's change our belief about fear and not be afraid of it. Fear could be your green light to go. Sometimes you need that much adrenaline to get the job done. Sometimes fear is the best thing you need to get that job done. But the key here is let's make sure your dream is bigger than your fear. So that when you feel that fear, and you will, every person does, when you feel that fear, you won't sabotage your efforts. It won't hold you back. You'll just identify it. Okay, yep, I'm feeling it. But your dream is bigger. It's bigger than your fear. So you're willing to walk through it. And the two biggest fears of things I've seen is the fear of loss. It's thinking, gosh, what if I build this all up and I lose it? What if I build this up and I become a huge mega success and I'm a multimillionaire and I lose my friends? They don't want to hang out with me anymore. What if I build this company and I make it and I make it and I'm this huge success and then I don't know that life. I've never been rich before and then I'm out of my comfort zone. See? And then we say, you know, it's not what I know. I know this. You know, I was working with a coaching client just this morning, and this is what came out of her mouth. I can't say the name. I said, okay, let's call her Beth. I said, Beth, why do you think you're hanging on to these relationships that don't serve you? And she said, because it's all I know. It's what I know. It's what I know. I've always been treated this way. I've always been treated badly. It's what I know. I can't even imagine someone could be honest with me. I can't even imagine somebody would love me, tell me the truth, be a soulmate, care. Wow. Isn't that interesting? What about you and me? Do we settle for mediocrity because it's all we know? Are you willing to break through mediocrity into, something you don't know, you're not sure of? Oh, but it's so worth it, the rich life. you got to be willing to walk through that fire of uncertainty. Yes, it will be a different life, but it's not true that it's lonely at the top. It's not true at all, because the reality is going to the top means you helped enough people along the way, and all those people you helped along the way, they're going to remember you, and you're going to remember them, and you're going to celebrate your success together, and then you're going to be rich, so you'll be able to afford really splurging on them. And the second fear that holds people back is the fear of gain, the fear of actually becoming successful. Like we were just saying, it's not what we know. We've never been rich before, so it's kind of the unknown. We're scared of the unknown. We have beliefs like it's lonely at the top. We think we can't handle it. We think we can't handle the responsibility of money. Now, isn't that interesting? That was a big one for me. Before I started attracting millions, I would say to myself, and this is all subconscious, people. I'm not sitting down saying I had a conversation with myself, oh, I'm afraid to budget money. But I was. But it was subconscious. So I think, because I was just never really good at it. So you know what I did? I got good at it. All right? I got good at it. I hired a financial planner, and I said, listen, I'm a very intelligent woman. And at the same time, I really know very little about finances. So I want you to teach me. I want you to look at me as a kindergartner. And I meant it. I said, I want you to treat me like a kindergartner. I want you to show me A, B, C. I want to learn this stuff so I am comfortable with money. And so that's what I did. I got educated. And I'm telling you, that was a huge breakthrough for me, because as soon as I got educated with money and I saw that Lisa Jimenez could handle money, that's when my breakthrough came. That's when I started attracting millions. I was comfortable being rich. What about you? Are you comfortable being rich? Pretty big stuff tonight, guys. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, let's get clear. Clarity in mind, body, and spirit. Clarity about, hey, do we have any negative beliefs about being rich? What does that mean to you? Are you very clear about what you want? I mean, what you really want. Take some time to answer that on page 7. What is your dream life? If there were no limitations, if there were no one telling you you can't, what would you do? What could you do? What's your dream life, your dream job, your dream financial goal? And then review those reasons why people don't make their goals. Do you relate to that? What do you need to break through? And that's where we're going to pick it up next week. Why we do this and what we need to do. Oh, my friend, there's actual steps you can take to break through those three reasons people don't achieve their goals. And we're going to go through that next week, the actual steps on what we need to do to break through these limitations that are holding us back. And you know what? They're subconscious. Most of them you don't even realize you're doing, but after next Tuesday night, you are going to be amazed. You're actually going to laugh out loud at your behavior. You're going to be shocked that you do some of the things you do. So that's what we're going to pick it up next week. And in the interim, I want you to do some homework. Look on page 10. We got some homework to do. First thing is I want you to start stating this statement. I was born to live a rich life. I was born to live a rich life. I want you to repeat that to yourself, and you tell me how many times. I don't know. Do you need to do it 100 times a day? Do you need to write it out? Maybe you need to write it out on a piece of paper and repeat it to yourself 10 times when you get up, 10 times when you go to bed. This is called retraining your mind, all right, because you've been trained to think poverty. You've been trained to think poverty. So let's break that cycle by training our mind to think rich. Training our mind to think abundance. And the second assignment for the week is, even if you have a goal poster, I want you to redo it. All right? You're a new person after tonight. I'm telling you, you are. So go back to those magazines, peruse through them, cut out pictures of everything that just light you up inside. You can't even explain it. It just lights you up. And I want you to paste them. Take them out, cut them out of that magazine, paste them up on a dream board, your poster board in your office, and then also a second step. I want you to buy a blank journal, a book, and I want you to cut out these papers, these pictures of things that light you up and put it in that book. Here's the reason. You're going to have a dream poster in your office that's stationary, that you can look at every day in your home or in your office. The dream book you take with you, keep it in your car. When you're at a red light, you're retraining your mind. when you're stopped at in a parking lot and you have a couple of seconds, retrain your mind. When you're waiting for someone to get out of the office, look at the dream book. Retrain your mind, okay? It's called belief. It's called belief. How do you build belief? So you take a portable dream book with you. All right, so you got that? You got homework to do. You can peruse through the magazines, make a dream board, make a dream book, portable, take with you. That's how you retrain your mind. And answer it. What do you really want? Oh, Vic, can I have like 2 more hours?
Oh, you know what? You just gave them, I mean, they got their money's worth.
Gosh, I love this stuff. It's just...
That was incredible teaching, and I wish we had another couple of hours.
I know. Next week, we got good stuff.
We appreciate you very much. Let's see if we can get a couple of questions in before we go.
Okay, who wants to jump in there?
Lisa.
Hi. Yes.
Hi, this is Janet from El Paso. One of the things that you mentioned about when you don't know what you want, that your childhood play, but some of my stuff that I wrote down with my childhood play, I still don't understand how to put it in perspective.
Okay, share it with us.
What I really want.
What did you write down? What was your childhood play?
Okay, like for an example, I would play with puzzles. I would play with checkers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I played Candyland, Monkey in a Barrel, just climbing, dancing, just different things like that.
Okay, Janet, what do puzzles, dancing, crossword puzzles, what do these things have in common?
The only thing that I can think of, they're things that you do by yourself.
Okay, very good. They're things you do by yourself. That's huge. There's something else. What else?
I'm not sure.
Anybody else? What do puzzles, dancing, think about it. Think about creating a dance, putting together a puzzle. It's strategy. You like strategy. Think of composing a dance. Think of putting a puzzle together. Think of playing Candyland. You like strategy. So the huge element for you, one is you like to work alone. It sounds like you enjoy creating and working alone. The second huge message I hear here is you love strategy. You love putting things together, figuring things out.
See, and I know another thing that I love doing, it lights me up, what you're talking about too, is working with people who have disabilities and don't, like, for an example, they don't know how to bounce a ball, or I'm teaching them how to swim. Stuff like that just lights me up.
What do you love about it?
The feeling that it gives me inside, that I actually feel and know that I'm making a difference for them.
What skills do you need to do that job well?
You need patience.
Okay, what else?
You need to communicate with them.
Okay.
And I just can't think of other stuff right now.
I want you to make a
big
list
heart.
Of the skills. Of that job that lights you up, because you can transcend those same skills into any other career. If you choose entrepreneurship, you take those skills that are lighting you up that you're teaching these people and transcend them to this other career. So you see, we could have multiple careers in our lives. It doesn't matter. The point is, are the core needs or the core elements of success for that career transcend into our next job, our next career? So, again, alone time, working on your own, being your own boss, doing these puzzles and dancing sounds like you love strategy and the challenge of putting things together. Thinking, it sounds like you're a thinker. You're on the right start, Janet. You're on the right track. So just do more introspective work about these things, and you're going to come up with an answer. I already see it in you, this entrepreneurship of figuring things out, creating business plans. I bet you find a lot of joy in creating, crafting business plans, new systems, new way of teaching, innovation.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for being on the call.
I want to thank you, Lisa, for just a tremendous, tremendous opening session. We've got so much to get us ready for the next Tuesday.
Yeah, great.
Same time, same channel. And so we're a little bit over tonight, so we're going to wrap it up now. And if you would, you got some closing words to send us home with?
Yes, absolutely. I want you to know that you were born to be a blessing, to be blessed, so that you can be a blessing for others. And that's what the rich life is. You know, the rich life is a mindset, my friend. It's a mindset. So even if you don't even have $10 in your checking account, you can begin living the rich life now, because the rich life is a mindset. You start seeing yourself as a rich woman. You start seeing yourself as a rich man that you already are, and begin behaving like a rich woman. Begin behaving like a rich man, and just step back and be amazed at how the universe responds to you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank everyone.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Vic, so much for all you do. See you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.